Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This summer on the show, we've been talking with the candidates for governor of Massachusetts. It's a crowded field, 3 Democrats, 2 Republicans, and 3 independents. And today, we have one of those independents in our studio, Jeff McCormick.
McCormick lives in the Back Bay, and he's the founder of the Boston venture capital firm Saturn Partners. He has an MBA and an undergraduate degree in biology, both from Syracuse University. And his campaign is focusing heavily on his private sector experience and job creation.
In fact, there's a section on his website headlined Jeff for Jobs. Jeff McCormick joins us on Radio Boston today to talk about what kind of governor he believes he would be. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you both for having me here.
And Jeff, I have to ask you about your biology degree, because I think your undergrad was actually molecular genetics. And I'm just fascinated because it sounds like at some point in your life, you may have been headed in a different direction than sort of the VC world that you're in now.
I was pre-med and looking to study molecular biology in grad school, and I realized I liked people. I liked building companies. So I actually took that skill into the direction of an MBA.
So now you're running for governor. This is your first foray into politics, your first campaign, first time in electoral politics. You lean in many ways toward a Massachusetts Republican, you know, sort of moderate fiscally, moderate socially. As you've talked about on the air at BUR, you actually gave $2,500 to Mitt Romney's 2012 presidential campaign, $1,000 to the 2010 gubernatorial campaign of one of your Republican competitors in this race, Charlie Baker, which I think is interesting. And a lot of political analysis about your race is basically talking about whether you're siphoning votes away from Charlie Baker because people who might vote for you or would have otherwise voted for him. So I'm interested in your sense of how you should distinguish yourself from Charlie Baker. For people who are on the fence between the two of you, how are you different, do you think?
Well, I think I'm really going to have to distinguish myself from both sides. And I've also supported Democrats as well. So if you think about someone that believes in equal rights and truly justice for all on the social side, but then applying a skill set of solving problems and using technologies for better outcomes for people, that's something that I do. I've been doing that for 27 years, and that's very different from any of the candidates. Innovating and getting to the root of problems.
So why, and I know you've answered this before, but tell our listeners why you chose to run as an independent, particularly given the challenges for independents in Massachusetts in many elections.
Well, I think maybe using the casinos as an example, you've got both sides taking a lot of money from different casino interests. And once you do that, you're just tied to those special interests. It's hard to make the best decision for people in the Commonwealth. And my goal is to always be representing all of the people of the Commonwealth and not just be tied to the special interests or the status quo.
You mentioned casinos, and I want to get you be able to talk about your views on many of these issues. And you have said, including on BUR Morning Edition, that you're not a big fan of them, that you really feel that they need to be a true destination casino in order to be worthwhile, the kind that brings in people from other states, doesn't just sort of siphon away money from people who live within the state. Now, there's a growing body of research that the casino market is fairly glutted. Just a few days ago, there was an announcement that a giant casino in Atlantic City that opened just 2.5 years ago is closing. So given that those facts, do you think that this November you'll be voting to repeal the casino law?
Oh, there's no question. In fact, from day one, I said I'm against casinos, but my comments that you just repeated, if we are going to go forward with them, that it has to be a destination resort. But casinos are job killers. They really hurt local economies. A third of the revenues come in from addicted gamblers. So they're not all they're cracked up to be. And as you pointed out, we're also in a down cycle. So I would much rather take a fraction of that capital, put it into some of these communities, and develop lasting jobs.
If the law isn't repealed in November and you end up having the chance to become governor, what do you think, what kind of protections in the state need to be in place to protect from what you think are the ills of casinos?
Well, I think there are a number of things that you can put in place and really hold the casino operators accountable. Being involved in business, I know what it's like to have to make debt service payments and such. So the good news is I have the experience to know what to look for.
Another big issue in the state right now, along with casinos, is medical marijuana. It's been very controversial, a lot of bungling in many ways in terms of how the licenses are in the process of being distributed. There was going to be a dispensary in your Back Bay neighborhood on Boylston Street. That's one that had a provisional license that ultimately was yanked. If another dispensary were to be approved for the Back Bay neighborhood, would you be in support of having one there?
No, I wouldn't be, because this can be a slippery slope here, that there's no question that marijuana can lead to use of other drugs. And as you well know, once you get into opiates, it is a very, very different ballgame.
At this point, this would be a hypothetical for Massachusetts, but of course, there are many states that are also legalizing recreational marijuana. What's your position on that?
Well, I don't think we ought to legalize recreational marijuana, and I think that we ought to study what is indeed happening in other states because, again, you see other forms of addiction really trending upward.
You've been asked about tax hikes, and you've said that they have to at least be on the table for consideration, although at least initially you've said you believe that inefficiencies in government, your word, could bring in savings. I think you've even said that maybe five to 10,000 government jobs could be eliminated, which certainly would be making a lot of civil servant employees sweat. Can you give us a sense of where you think inefficiencies are? What agencies, what departments are left that you think there's fat in?
Well, when you look at the lack of technologies in many agencies, whether it's the DOR or obviously DCF didn't have the right technology, although I do think that they were probably understaffed as well. No one should be sweating because you can just do this through regular attrition over 4 years. I mean, there's 125,000 employees, so just allowing the system to run its normal course, but not automatically replacing jobs, looking to use technology more efficiently, as you do in the private sector, as I've been doing for 27 years. That's what we need to do as a Commonwealth.
Your private sector experience, as we mentioned, and your focus on job creation has been a big part of your campaign. Give us a sense of what you think you've learned from the private sector that would be transferable to government in terms of job creation, economic rejuvenation.
Well, number one is the vast majority of jobs are created in small businesses. So we have to create a platform for growth for small businesses. Do things like reduce the cost of energy. We're the fifth highest cost of energy in the United States, which we certainly can do. Reduce the cost of healthcare. We're the most expensive state per capita in healthcare. Things like that significantly affect the growth of small businesses. And I sincerely believe that given the brain power and the inventive power within the Commonwealth, that we can bring a lot more specialty manufacturing back to the Commonwealth if we get these costs under control.
In terms of how your administration, if there were a McCormick administration, would make Massachusetts more appealing to businesses, just yesterday, Governor Patrick had refiled legislation that would limit the use of non-compete agreements. And he and many other people argue that non-competes make Massachusetts less competitive. I imagine that's sort of in your years in the private sector, something you've dealt with over the years. Would you support a ban on non-compete agreements in Massachusetts?
General non-competes, I do think, can prevent business growth. And we have to remember, we need people and capital to be able to freely move back and forth. It's different when you're talking about C-level being CEOs, CFOs, and such employees with non-competes. So I am generally not a fan of those. I think they're tough to enforce anyway, to be honest, but they can be kind of threatening to employees.
A big picture question about the state of your campaign so far. We're just we have an election 3 months away, a general election 3 months away. You've put a lot of your own money into your campaign, still polling fairly far behind. And Joe Nucci, the former auditor who now writes an article, a column for The Herald, had said he feels like you really need to be out there more. And I'm wondering, at what point in your campaign, what's left as far as your strategy to try to really get your message out there?
Well, I'm traveling throughout the entire Commonwealth. I've been in virtually all corners, at this point. And the message resonates wherever I go. People want someone who is not tied to the status quo. People want someone who has created jobs in the private sector, understands how to use technology and drive efficiency. And it helps that I'm from very, very modest roots. So I can basically, relate to just about anyone. So we knew that the big thing is once we get into the debates with the Republican and Democratic candidates, people are going to see a very pronounced difference between my style and theirs.
Although the usual challenge for an independent, how do you convince voters that that's a vote worth casting that could actually make a difference and that person might be able to win?
Well, people are polling right now that they want change. They want something different. They want someone who really will say there is a better way to run government. And we've just come off of, you know, the lab scandal, the probation scandal, the DCF scandal, the Health Connector website was a disaster, the DOR, you know, et cetera, now this probation thing. You know, at some point, people say, we've got to start voting for a change.
I want to ask you about some more very specific issues to get a sense of, sort of a very broad sense of where you stand in your thinking and your politics. One being the U.S. Supreme Court decision recently that struck down the Massachusetts buffer zone law. Do you think the court ruled correctly on that?
Well, whether the court ruled correctly or not, I wasn't happy with the ruling, to be quite honest. I think that women need to be protected, and by the way, men as well, because 11% of Planned Parenthood's clients are men, which most people don't know. And I honestly don't understand the logic behind, you know, why they ruled the way they ruled.
Well, I mean, I think they seem, I think, you know, they certainly spelled out the logic a bit, but I'm wondering whether you agree that it made sense, that there has to be a free speech right, even if it seems offensive to many people, to be able to do it. If we believe in free speech, we have to allow it, even if we don't like to hear it.
Well, free speech is one thing, but the way they exercise their right of free speech is really what I have problems with. And that's what I thought the buffer zone did a great job of protecting. And that's why I wish that it was still in place.
Question about the 2024 Olympics, Boston on the short list to possibly bid it. Many people think it could be a great boon for the city. Many people just hope it's the last thing that ever happens to Boston. What do you think? Do you think the Olympics should come here?
Well, I think it obviously requires careful analysis. I, as a Bostonian, would love to have the Olympics in my backyard, as most people would, as a matter of pride. But we can't have a bunch of white elephants, and it can't be a situation like with Montreal. They just finished, this is the Montreal Olympics in 76. They just finished paying off their bonds for that. So that is something that if it doesn't make any economic sense and there are a lot of white elephants, we just can't go forward with it.
Let's say it's general election day and the choice for Massachusetts voters comes down to a choice between Charlie Baker and one of two Democrats, either Martha Coakley or Steve Grossman, the treasurer. Who will you cast your vote for if you end up having to vote for one of them?
Well, I'm going to be in the race. I mean, I've already qualified for the ballot, so I think
sure.
You have got a pretty good idea of where my vote is going.
Well, you know, as we've brought in the gubernatorial candidates, we've asked many of them to share something personal, something that maybe they haven't shared on the trail, they wish they had an opportunity to. What's yours? What do you want listeners to know about you that you think is unique or unusual? Something personal.
Well, I think what people need to realize is that coming here with nothing and just working hard for 2.5 decades and getting to a point in life that I looked in the mirror and said, how can I make a difference? And talking with my wife, Christine, knowing that so much of the systems are just broken, but the opportunities to fix them are also there. Because again, that's what I've been doing in my day job. So I see the answers. It's not a question of whether or not it can happen. It's a matter of political will to make it happen. And instead of being someone who, you know, just complained about the system, I said, you know, someone like me has to step up, even though I've got a lot of opportunity cost in my life. And candidly, I love my family and my kids, and they're 10, 11, and 12. And there's opportunity cost there alone, because you know what it takes to not only run for governor, but be a governor. But that's something that I've chosen to do. And I was in a meeting just a little while ago that someone said, you know, thank you so much for really diving in, because we understand what that means to you.
Jeff McCormick is an independent candidate running for governor of Massachusetts. Jeff, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.